Hey folks, thanks for being a member of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. Have you thought about doing a Broadway show based on the life of Alexander Hamilton?
See, now that's a good idea, right?
Lin-Manuel stole that from you, right?
That was a wonderful idea. One of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. Oh my God. Yeah. I couldn't believe that thing.
Apart from the music and everything else, there's lots of history in there. And man, kids love it. My kids have seen it multiple times. I mean, they can't get enough. They know every word of every lyric by heart.
Now that is a work of genius, without a doubt. Amazing.
That makes me want to ask you the question you talk about a little bit in the book. Outside, so one, what is the state of rock and roll today? And two, outside of rock and roll, what do you like to listen to?
Well, the state of rock and roll is pretty much back to the cult where it began in 1954, with the exception of live performance, which we still are the biggest thing. And assuming we will get back to that eventually, I hope.
Isn't there a huge disconnect in that? How does it remain the biggest thing live, but a much smaller thing on radio?
It's just become two different businesses. You know, the mainstream industry just slowly, once the bean counters and accountants and lawyers took over, they don't have the capacity to understand art or greatness of any kind. You know, all they understand is the lowest common denominator and the bottom line and the next fiscal quarter. So, you know, they're going to reduce everything down to the bare minimum, something that's consistent, you know, and mediocrity is quite consistent. You know, they're right about that, you know. Yeah. But live, of course, our art form, the live part of it is extremely important and always has been. And that has survived because there's nothing like it and it's not being replaced. And we're not being replaced, I hate to say. I mean, the latest guys that have broken through were who? Pearl Jam, you know, Green Day, Foo Fighters. I mean, this is, what, 20 years ago or more? You know, this, the last time there was a rock and roll song on pop radio, I can't even tell you.
Yeah, and look, in all those stations you point out, I mean, I used to listen to, growing up, these are for New Yorkers will appreciate this, 95.5 WPLJ, 102.7 WNEW. Then briefly, there was a third rock station, WAPP, 103.5. None of them play rock anymore. I guess there's classic rock sometimes in some places.
Yeah, no, classic rock still exists. Yeah,
there's no new stuff.
That's right. They won't play anything new. To hear new rock and roll, you gotta listen to the Underground Garage. You gotta listen to my station, Channel 21. A Sirius satellite. We have introduced over 1,000 new bands in 20 years, but we're the only ones, you know, and along with, of course, we play the great stuff also with it, the past. But it's just two different businesses now, the live business and the recording business. And that's not going to change anytime soon. It is what it is.
So what kind of things do you like listening to outside of rock?
Well, I got to listen every week. You know, we come up with the coolest song in the world this week on the radio format every single week. So I'm constantly listening to new stuff. And a lot of the classic bands will put out new records, and we're the only ones who will play them. We'll be the only ones playing a new Rolling Stones or a new Paul McCartney or a new Cheap Trick or Joan Jett. You know, these are people still making great records. You know, we're the only ones who play them. So we try to keep up with that and support the new bands, you know, for fun or whatever. It depends on what mood I'm in. I'll go back and listen to, you know, it could be anything from reggae to Marvin Gaye to early Stones or Beatles, early British Invasion. I never get tired of it, never. And every time I hear these things, I hear something new. You know, even though I've heard them hundreds and sometimes thousands of times, you know, I heard the piano part in Satisfaction like 10 years ago for the first time. Okay. I must have heard that song 2000 times and I never heard the piano part until like 10 years ago. So, you know, you keep hearing new things.
I'm not going to ask you about the Mary's Dress controversy, whether it sways or waves, but do you, I'm not asking about, do you sometimes change lyrics to songs over the years?
Not too often. One thing about writing the book, you know, I had to go back and really re-examine all my work, and very little I would change. I can tell you the truth. I really was quite happy about it. There was a word or two here and there. You know, that's it.
I noticed small changes. I saw Bruce on Broadway a number of times. In my recollection growing up, I'm not talking about Mary's Dress Waves, but in my hometown, he used to refer to the textile mill. Now he calls it the rug mill. So for those huge E Street Band aficionados, there are changes. If you want to break some news on Mary's Dress, you can, but you don't have to.
No, thanks.
can we do another five? Oh, you've been very generous.
No, we're good. Good.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, and we're going to do a little lightning round.
Uh-oh.
Question number one, because you talk about this. What was your best childhood job?
Best childhood job?
Yes.
Ooh. Boy, I didn't like
it. I'm rooting for one of them because you mentioned that you had one that I had.
I didn't like too many of them, I tell you the truth.
Well, because you didn't like being a kid.
Yeah, and I especially didn't like working for a living. How ironic that the way it turned out. You know, doing 4-hour concerts.
I was hoping you were going to say the paper route. You said you had a paper route.
Oh, yeah, that probably was one of the better ones, yeah.
Do you remember what paper?
It would have been the local, might have been
the Asbury Park Press or
no, it would have been like the Courier, the Middletown, the Courier, I think. Yeah.
I think there used to be something called the Red Bank Register.
Register. Yeah. No,
I was big time. I delivered the Star Ledger.
Oh, you see, that's, I don't think that was
big time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was more local than that, I think.
What's your favorite mob movie?
Modern movie or mob?
Mob, mafia.
Oh. Well, it's a close call. I mean, it's not exactly mob, but I mean, we have to eliminate Godfather 1 and 2 because that's the obvious answers. So other than them, it's either Angels with Dirty Faces or Raging Bull kind of qualifies, you know, kind of.
You're saying an interesting comment you make in the book is that you should have become lifelong best friends with Martin Scorsese, and that never happened. That's too bad.
Yeah, I mean we're very friendly acquaintances, you know. But I met him at a time when we probably could have started hanging out. But I've been a lifelong fan. It was a wonderful fantasy realized to. Being the Irishman, even if it was, you know, for 5 seconds, I was just so grateful and to finally be in one of his films, you know.
Do you like The Departed? You put that up there or no?
That's not one of my favorites. No. I like it. And he won for that, right? I think, which was just kind of.
I can't remember now. I feel like he always loses when he should win.
I think he won for that, which is just, you know, silly. I mean, him not winning for Raging Bull is one of the most outrageous.
Well, you know, I feel about certain movies, including Goodfellas, the way you speak about those songs. I see new things every time I watch that movie.
No, that's a classic. I love Goodfellas. I think Casino is actually quite underrated, actually.
I think that's true.
You know, it came too soon, I think, after Goodfellas. And, it felt too similar, I think, with the narration and everything. It felt a little redundant. But if you see it now, it's actually a fantastic movie. But Raging Bull is right there, just after the two Godfathers, as far as I'm concerned. Greatest movie ever made.
Fair enough. Who would you want to play you in the movie? Or would you play yourself?
Oh, no.
I'm sure you've thought of this. There's no way you haven't thought of this.
No, I really haven't thought of it. But I have been asked before, and I joke, I think if Johnny Depp isn't too old, he'd be good, you know, for the older me.
Johnny Depp. Okay. All right, we're going to do a final thing, word association. I'm going to say a word or a phrase or a name, and you just tell me the first phrase or word that comes to your mind. Prince.
Genius.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time talking about Prince, which I found fascinating. Stone Pony.
Great, successful residency.
Dancing in the Dark.
Glad you didn't throw it out.
David Chase.
Mentor and one of my favorite people.
Clarence Clemens.
Oh, a brother, irreplaceable brother.
By the way, you know, of all the songs that I came to love deeply only after hearing in concert, I mean, it happens with a lot of songs, particularly with the E Street Band and Bruce. Mm. But, you know, when I was young, 10th Avenue Freeze Out was not in my top favorites. And it is now. I don't know if you hear that a lot from fans. Certain songs, and maybe it's because of me, and I've aged and I appreciate different songs. But boy, that went up a lot of notches in my book after hearing. And then also after Clarence died and the way Bruce and you guys use it as a tribute to him. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, I think, you know, some people in the beginning may have been averse, you know, to horns. I think horns were...
Well, that's the song you fixed.
Well, yeah, but in general, you know, some people just didn't like the sound of horns. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that was... When rock and roll took over, horns were eliminated. You know, there was a sax solo on every record until pretty much until the Beatles. Right. you know, unless it was Chuck Berry or, you know. And suddenly, you know, the 25 greatest sax players that ever lived were completely out of work. And I think horns just, you know, became something, a thing of the past for a lot of people. Unless you were in soul music, you know, then, you know, into that. But for rock people, I think horns were a little bit put people off a little bit at first, because it didn't feel right. And I think it took people a little while to get used to horns.
That's interesting. Just a couple more. Billy Joel.
A wonderful guy. Wrote Say Goodbye to Hollywood, which... was the first, the only song, you know, the Ronnie Spector and the E Street Band. One of my second production.
Right. No, you mentioned that in the book. That's why I ask. Final, Norway.
Oh, one of the great mysteries of the world. I love it. I love it. I mean, you know, most people
As you said, I was teasing you a little bit before we started recording. You claim in the book that you could be elected mayor of Oslo.
I could have at the time, anyway. It's just one of those fabulous places that is extremely mysterious. I mean, you can't name one product. You can't name one celebrity. People think it's a city in Sweden. You know, it's just one of those. it's a mysterious place. And the longer you're there, the more mysterious it becomes. And I just... I love everything about it. I would go back and do more Lilyhammers if they asked. I would do it.
Yeah, they should bring it back. Can you say something to us in Norwegian?
Absolutely not. No.
Pete Buttigieg.
He speaks Norwegian? Is he Norwegian?
He was rumored during the campaign to speak multiple languages, including Norwegian.
I'm telling you, it's like Klingon. I'm not kidding. it's unbelievable. I mean, so I can only say, you know, thank you, or that's it. Goodbye, you know.
How about cheers? Can you say cheers? Skål, that's Swedish, I think.
Skål. That's no, that works.
It works in all of the Scandinavian countries?
Yes, that's okay. The
Thank you again for becoming a Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday and stay tuned every Thursday.